stop worshiping Him. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. However you worship, I just ask that you worship. Thank you, Jesus. You're so wonderful, Lord. Your presence is so rich and so great. You know, if you have a need this morning, why don't you get what you need from God this morning? Amen? Because truthfully, there are a lot of needs in this house this morning. But we are worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whom all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen? Amen? Touch your neighbor and say, are you ready? Say, if you ain't ready, then get ready. Amen. We do welcome you to All Seasons Worship Center. If you are a visitor here for the first time, we are honored to have you here. Just come in and make yourself at home. If maybe you go to a church, you say they don't allow worship. Well, we do here. So you can just enter in and enjoy yourself. Amen. If they don't believe in shouting, we do. So you can help yourself. Amen. If you do, I want you to grab your Bibles to Psalm 33. So forward looking to this day, I believe that God has awesome things He wants to do. Are you ready for that? Amen. I want God to do what He wants to do. Amen. As you're turning to Psalm 33, we're going to pray over this. Father God, we thank You for the privilege and the honor of being in Your house. God, we thank You that You are here. God, You were here before we got here. You'll be here when we go. But Father, the awesome thing is, the Christ followers, Lord, we take You with us everywhere that we go. Father, I ask today that You invade this place. Your presence is already moving and flowing, Father, throughout this service, through the worship of giving, Father. I felt Your presence and Your anointing is here to destroy the yoke. Father, I just pray today that You help me to stay out of Your way so You can do what You want to do in this building, so that You can reach the lost, so that You can heal the sick, so that You can mend the brokenhearted, so that You can heal marriages, Father, so that You can perform Your miracle. I believe You and I thank You for it in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Praise the name of God. Psalm 33, this is passages that Holy Spirit has had me studying the past couple of days, and I do believe God has a word. So if you came looking for a word, we believe God's going to give you one. Amen. The scripture text says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Now, we're going to dive into that and kind of break that verse down. Or we're going to back up just a moment to 2 Samuel. I promise we'll come back to that. 2 Samuel chapter number 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture talking about them bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. The Scripture says in verse number 3, and they set the Ark of God. Understand, the Ark of God represented the presence of God. It represented the very manifest presence of the Lord. The Scripture text says, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, they drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the Ark of God, and Ahio went before the Ark. To kind of speed this process along, the Scripture text says that as they were going, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out to steady the Ark of God because the oxen shook it. And the Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and he died by the Ark of God. So you see the Scripture here. David is bringing the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. The Scripture text says here that the man of God reached out to steady the Ark, seemingly to do a good thing, but God needs no one to hold him up. Amen? So the Bible says that he died. And the Bible says basically that David got mad, basically. As Pastor would say, he pooched his lip out. He got unhappy. So the Bible says that as this happened, David got angry. And the Bible said that David took the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, to Obed-Edom's house. So he took the Ark of God to Obed-Edom's house. Isn't it amazing how when we get mad, we blame God for stuff that we did? Y'all are asleep in this house this morning. The Bible says, let me try this side. The Bible says that as that happened, the Scripture text says that David basically got mad and he took the Ark of the Covenant to Obed-Edom's house. It's amazing how when stuff goes wrong, we begin to blame God. And instead of people pressing into God, they pull away from God. And instead of staying close to the people that God has placed in their life to pour into their life, we tend to pull back from that. But listen to me. Even if we are uncomfortable, we need to understand that the Spirit of the Lord is wanting to do an awesome work in our life. And many times, listen to me, there is great opposition before there is great breakthrough. Oh, come on in this place, somebody. So if you're going through hell right now, you ought to go ahead and give God a shout, because that means that breakthrough is real close. If the devil is fighting your marriage, you ought to go ahead and shout, because breakthrough is close. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. So he took the ark of God to Obed-Edom's house, and he began to see how Obed-Edom before wasn't all that blessed, but he began to be blessed. Why did he begin to be so blessed? Because the Ark of the Covenant was the very presence of the Lord. Listen to me. If you want the blessing of the Lord on your life, stay close to the presence of the Lord. And when difficulty comes against your life, don't lay out of church for a month. Press into God. Let your praise be more radical. Let your giving be more radical. Let your worship be more radical. The scripture text says here that he took the Ark of the Covenant to Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and he began to hear. He began to hear how everything that Obed-Edom had began to be blessed. I mean, everything about him began to be blessed. His cattle was doing good. His family was doing good. Everything was going great because the presence of the Lord was there. And the Bible said David got wind of that, and David said, I got to get the Ark back. You ever gone through a phase where maybe you got mad or offended maybe at God or maybe at somebody, and you pulled away, and then you begin to watch the Spirit of God blessing other people, and you begin to get over that offense and say, Lord, forgive me for that. God, forgive me of this. Let me snuggle back up to you, because I want the blessing of the Lord on my life. Can I just go ahead and tell you this? Man, I feel the Lord in this place this morning. My Jesus. Do you know what happens so many times? I don't know why the Spirit of God has me going here, but I'm just going to obey the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to do it. But you see, so many times what happens is opposition comes and people leave. Listen to me. You know, you can leave this church and go somewhere else, but the same spirit you're running from, you got to fight there too. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some say, well, I'm mad, I'm going to go over here. Listen to me, it doesn't matter where you go. Until you conquer that demon spirit, it's going to fight you until you conquer it. So what you need to do is go ahead and place your feet in cement and say, God, you sent me here. Sister so-and-so may have offended me, but you sent me here, and I'm not going to let somebody run me off from my blessing. Are you hearing me in this place, somebody? I'm not going to leave where God has sent me. I'm not going to allow my family to be put under that kind of mess, because I won't repent and get my heart right. God's talking this morning. Oh, Jesus, somebody pray for me. I feel the boldness of the Lord in this place today. My Jesus. The scripture says that he saw the blessing of the Lord. He saw the blessing of the Lord on his house. David said, I got to get the ark back. David said, I got to have the blessing of the Lord. Do you know the Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it? That means the blessing of the Lord, it blesses every part of your life. It blesses every aspect of your life. You see, when you are a worshiper, when you are a praiser, you get the attention of God. You get the applause of God. Do you know that in heaven right now, all around the throne of God, they are crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then they cry again, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Are you hearing this today? Sometimes as humans we get tired of the same old song. But listen to me. They keep singing the same song, because every time they look, all they see is holiness. And they cry, holy. And the next one says, I see that too. Holy. And the next one says, I see that too. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The elders and the beasts, they cry to God. They worship God because He's worthy. Do you realize that God created us for that very specific purpose? You know, long before God ever called me to preach, He called me to worship. Because listen to me, if there is ever somebody you're under that doesn't worship, I don't see how they're going to be able to lead you. That's why some folk go to a dead church with a dead preacher and they wonder why their spirit is dead. Oh, y'all don't want me to preach the truth today? Well, I just like the way he preaches. Yeah, because he don't challenge you. He's in a coma and you are too, so y'all just happy together. Aren't you glad that our pastor is alive and well? Amen? Amen? Come on now. The Spirit of God told me a long time ago, He said, son, if you're not being challenged, you're not growing. And if you're not growing, you're dying. If you have an infant, if you have a baby and that baby is not growing, the first thing you do, hopefully, is you begin to pray. You begin to pray, you begin to lay hands on that baby. And pretty soon, if you don't see significant change as a loving mother and father, you're taking that baby to the doctor unless the Lord tells you not to, right? Because you want to know why your baby is not growing properly, amen? Can I tell you that when we begin to be praisers and worshipers unto God, we begin to grow? Come on in this place, somebody. As we begin to worship, God's presence becomes, he comes close and we begin to see Him in a brand new light. We begin to see Him like we've never seen Him before. We begin to see different glimpses of God. Isn't it wonderful? The longer you serve the Lord, the longer you walk with the Lord, the more you see Him, the more you see His awesomeness, and you're in service and you're singing a song and a thought it strikes a chord in your heart and you're like, I've never thought about that before. Or as pastor is preaching, like, I've never thought about that before. It's because when you begin to enter into worship, revelation knowledge begins to flow. And when we begin to receive revelation knowledge, we begin to receive the impartation of the Spirit of the Lord. And then we begin to grow. And our marriage begins to get strong. And the devil begins to get mad. And he begins to come against your life. But what that is, that's confirmation that you're going in the right direction. That's very simply confirmation that God is about to do something awesome in your life. Come on and give Him praise if you believe that for your life. So David had to get the ark back. Somebody say he had to. He had to. Absolutely. The scripture text goes on to say that when he got it back, the scripture says, as he's bringing it back, thank you, Holy Spirit. As he's bringing it back, the Bible says he took 6 steps and had to lay the ark down. I believe there's significance there because 6 is the number of man. Come on, here's somebody. 7 is the number of God, the number of completion. He took 6 steps, but when he took 7, he had to lay the ark down and dance. You know why? Because he stepped out of himself and he stepped into who God was. Are you here, somebody? And he had to worship and praise God. You see, when we get out of our flesh, we'll give up all our reasons why we can't worship and all the reasons why we can't shout and why mama didn't raise us that way. Once we take that next step and we begin to realize who God is, something begins to get in your feet and you find yourself dancing. Something begins to get in your hands and you find yourself raising your hands. Something begins to get in your heart and tears begin to run down your face and you start thinking about the goodness of the Lord, and before you know, you're like, my hands are raised. And I don't even believe in that. And you're like, well, I don't care anymore. And then you just press into who God is and God begins to work a miracle in your life. Amen. Do you know it's biblical to worship? The Bible talks about the raising of the hands. It talks about the shouting of the voice. It talks about singing. It talks about the playing of the instruments. It talks about playing on the guitar. It talks about playing on the harp. It even talks about loud music.
Well, I don't like that church. They have loud music.
We're just trying to be biblical, amen? Now, I don't know about you, but when I used to party, now I still party. I just don't party like I used to. Amen. I didn't quit partying. I just changed the way I dance. Oh, yeah. Changed the stuff I drank, too. Amen. I drank new wine now. It's a whole lot better. Won't cause you to kill your liver and die early and all that stuff. But anyway, when we begin to realize who God is, We begin to think about His goodness. When we begin to realize how awesome He is, we take that step out of our flesh into Him. And see, listen to me. There's a lot of people, they've been taught wrong. Well, preacher, when I feel it, I'm going to praise the Lord. No, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Well, I don't feel nothing. That's the best time to praise. Come on. Do you always feel like getting up and going to work?
No.
But you get up because if you don't, your boss will say those famous Donald Trump words, you're fired. Right? So listen to me. When we get past the point of trying to make all the excuses, why not? And we just say, God, I don't feel anything, but I'm going to raise my hands anyway. The devil's coming against my life, but I'm going to worship anyway. He's attacking my finances, but I'm going to worship anyway. I'm going to dig down a little bit deeper in my wallet, and I'm going to bless God a little bit more. Because devil, you coming against me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come with a dance, and I come with a shout. Yes. Somebody say it's biblical. Yeah. It's just amazing how, if we're not careful as humans, we find stuff to make us comfortable. Come on now. Can I tell you, you don't need to be at a place where you're comfortable. If this place, and I know it does, pulls you in 100 different directions, you're in the right place. Or you can go down the dead and frozen and sleep through church. I'm not talking about any particular church because I've never been in any other church in Forest, but this one, so I can't be talking about nobody because I don't know anybody, right? But we begin to say, God, I want you. I want you more than anything. And when we begin to do that, God begins to come close. The Bible says that David danced before the Lord with all his might. Now you see, a lot love David, but some think David was kind of out there. You know why? Because he danced with all his might. I mean, this guy was a fanatic. I mean, he was God's song and dance man. I mean, this man would dance at the drop of the hat and drop the hat to dance. Amen? I mean, this guy was a worshiper. Was he perfect? No, but he was a worshiper. That's why God loved him so much. That's why God cut you, Solomon, to build this great, elaborate temple. And David just basically built a little small tent. And when God got ready for a building, God said, I don't want Solomon's house. I want to rebuild the house of David. Why? Because David was God's song and dance man. David was a man that would give God praise because God was worthy. David was a man, he didn't try to offend people, but he said, if you get offended by my praise, I'm sorry. I've got to worship the Lord. So the Bible says he danced before the Lord with all his might. He's girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, amazingly, it doesn't even call her his wife. It calls her Michal, Saul's daughter. When she looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. My God. And they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Let me fast forward to verse. Now let me just stop right there. Yeah. So the scripture text says that when she saw him, she despised him in her heart. Now notice this. Let me go back to where we started. Psalm 33. I told you we'd come back. I promise you I would. It says in the Message Bible, verse 1, it says, good people cheer God. Right living people sound best when praising. Can I tell you, you sound the best to God when you're praising? And can I tell you, not everybody is going to like your worship to God, because the Bible says that David's wife didn't like it. She didn't like the fact that he was dancing and worshiping to God. You know why? She may be thinking, David, you're too important for that. David, you've got prestige. You're big in this community. Come on now. Do you know that we don't need to set down on God just because we, quote, have a title? Come on now. We don't need to say, well, God, I've reached this plateau in my life, and God, it don't take all that anymore. A lot of times what happens is people, they get more dignified, and they say, well, as they begin to get older, they say, well, you know, I learned it don't take all that. What happens is they're trying to cover up the fact that they've gotten cold and indifferent. They're trying to cover up the fact that what has happened is they step back into number six. Are you hearing me? They step back in their flesh because, listen to me, and understand, when you worship God, it's always going to be in your flesh because you're in a flesh suit, right? That's why some try to get so spiritual. Well, brother, when I feel it, I'm going to do it. When the Spirit comes on me, there's going to be times you ain't going to feel nothing. Come on. There's going to be times all you're going to feel is demonic oppression coming against you. But what you've got to do is press through your flesh and say, you're not going to stop me. David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. David was saying, wake up in there. Let's give God praise. I know trouble's coming, but there's all the more reason to praise.
If you're taking medicine, it's 9:27.
The scripture text says, she despised him in her heart. Let me show you this because we've got to grab this. You got to grab this. Psalm 33 verse 1 in the King James, it says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely. So in one translation it says, it sounds good to praise. The King James says, it's comely for the upright. The NIV says it this way, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Come on, somebody. What that means is when you are a praiser, it sounds right. And when you are a praiser, it looks good on you. Come on, somebody. Y'all are not hearing what I'm saying. It may not look good to everybody else, but when you are a praiser and you are a worshiper, God says, boy, that looks good on you. A girl, that looks good on you. Ladies, help me right here. What happens, those of you that are married, of course? When you get dressed, what do you say to your husband? Does this look good on me? Or do you say, does this make my butt look big? Be honest, you say both. You say both. What you want to know is, does it look good on me? Does what I have look? And sometimes I'm like, baby, that looks good, but you can't leave the house with that on
because it looks too good.
And I don't want other folks want what ain't theirs. Y'all ain't helping me preach. I mean, that's for my eyes only. It's tight and it's real tight and looks real right. So if you're going to wear that in the living room, it's all good. But no, sir. You know what I'm saying? God is saying it looks good on you when you praise me. God is saying when you're going through hell and you press through with tears, God says it looks good on you. When you start praising God, He says it sounds good when you talk to me like that. Are you hearing me? God is wanting us to clothe ourselves in humility and become a worshiper and say, God, I know I may not have everything right on the inside, but you're working on me and I'm going to praise you. And as I praise you, the Spirit of the Lord is going to do His work. I'm going to praise. And God looks down and says, yeah, boy, that looks good on you. And He's like, yeah, baby girl, that looks good on you. Go ahead and get your dance on. Go ahead and get your praise on. Go ahead and get your twirl on. Let them go ahead and roll their eyes like a dying calf. Go ahead and worship me. Because she said all this, and you know what David said? To paraphrase, David said, baby, I wasn't dancing for you no way. Because she despised him in her heart and she didn't like the fact that he was doing all that. See, what I'm trying to say is what looks good on you to God many times won't look good on you to others. You see, because I'm telling you, now we don't need to try to offend people with our worship, but can I tell you there are times you're going to offend people with your worship? Many times it's because it convicts them. Or maybe they've been raised in a traditional church. And the thing is, listen to me. We've got to stop hiding behind our labels for the reasons why we can't worship. Come on now. And I can say this because I've traveled and I've ministered in different kind of churches. I've ministered in non-denominational churches. I've ministered in full gospel churches. I've ministered in Church of God churches. I've ministered in different kind of churches. And listen to me. I go to places that the sign says Spirit Filled. And I go in and all I find is Casper. Because the place is dead. The Spirit brings life. Come on. And we're trying to hide behind our labels. And we say, I'm Spirit-filled. And they come in, they're like, where? Where's he at? Come on now. We try to hide behind our denomination. Well, I'm this or well, I'm Baptist. We don't believe in that. Well, listen, this ain't Baptist, so go ahead. I got like two grunts and a Presbyterian stare right there. Well, brother, I'm this. I was taught that that was wrong. Well, you were taught wrong. And I say that with kindness, but I can't help but just say it. You were taught wrong. Well, I was taught that's all fanatical. Well, the same people that tell you that when Mississippi State got their enormous win over Florida, they didn't say, no, we can't shout. We don't believe in that. Don't you ring them cowbells. We like it quiet in church. Come on now. No, they will get that very annoying cowbell out. I got the mic. I got the mic. Brother Marsh on the mic? No. Love you, brother, but no. They get the cowbell, and you know what? They don't care what you think. Come on. I've gone to Ole Miss State game, as bad as I hate to say it, and we lost 21-0, and I sat in the rain the whole game, soaking wet. Now listen to me. If the temperature ain't just right in church, folk will get offended. Well, it's too cold in that church. Well, it's too hot in that church. Can I just say it? Just get over it. When you go to work, you say, boss, if you don't change this temperature, I'm quitting. I'm going to quit. Not if you want to eat, you don't. Come on now. Y'all ain't helping me preach this morning. Now, I want pastor back. I want pastor back. I do too, but he asked me to preach today, so I'm going to preach. Amen. You'd be amazed at all the excuses we use for why we can't worship. Come on. You see, because the thing is this, when we get past ourselves, come on, when we get past ourselves and we realize that it's not about us, what we won't be honest to say is we're thinking too much about our stinking self. We come to church with our feelings on our shoulders, walk like this. They hurt my feelings. Well, put your feelings down and they won't hurt them. I love y'all. Y'all love me. You better love me. You ain't got to like me, but you got to love me. Amen. When we realize that it's about Him. Because listen to me, guys. I go through stuff just like you. Maybe not the exact stuff, but I go through stuff. Pastor goes through stuff. Do you know as much as I love to preach, there are times I'm like, God, I don't want to preach today. Can I just blow you out of the water? You're like, man, I love to preach, but listen to me. There's times with stuff going on, I'm like, God, I just don't feel it today. And God's like, it ain't about you. It's not about your feeling. It's about me, and it's about blessing my people. And do you realize when you don't worship God, you're cheating God from what God deserves. You're cheating yourself. You're cheating your marriage. You're cheating your body. You're cheating your finances. And you're cheating your children. Do you know there are some guys that come to church and stare through church because they watch their daddy come to church? Pastor says, raise your hands. The praise leader says, come on, raise your hands. You know I'm preaching, right? And you wonder why you have trouble out of junior. It's because he's watching your dead self. Yeah. And you wonder why he's experimenting with stuff you don't want him experimenting in. It's because you're leading him in death. Come on now. When God gets our child here, I'm sure I won't be perfect because I'm human, but I'm not only human. But my boy's going to see me praising God. He's not going to have a dead preacher for a dad. Y'all ain't hearing me. He's not going to have a mom that doesn't worship God. Do you know why? Because it's offensive to God if you raise your children that way. I don't believe that. Well, it's in there. The Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from him. And can I tell you, the Bible says that the earth moans and groans and travails for the manifestation of the sons of God. And can I tell you, the God kind of church, the kind of church that's a biblical church is a church that's a praising church. A biblical church is a church that lets the Spirit of God move, and we step outside of our comfort zones and we let God move on us like He wants to. If we get on our knees, we get on our knees. If we fall out, we fall out. If we run around the church, we run around the church. If we speak with tongues, we speak with tongues. We do it because we love God and we can't help but praise the God that made us. Can't help but do it. I mean, even when I was a sinner, I was flamboyant about it. You know what would happen? For those of you students that have seen me try to dance,
it ain't pretty, is it?
I was watching a movie Wednesday night, and I was joking, and Greg grabbed my arm and said, "Leave that to me."
He was saying, "Boy, quit. You're embarrassing me. You're my pastor, but quit. I love you, but that's pitiful." What it was saying was, "You ain't just white, boy, you real white. You so white, you ain't got no moves, just chill out." So back in the day, we'd go to dances, and you know, if you go to a party, you got to dance. You can't be just dork and sit over in the corner. It's fun. No, you're going to dance, right? So what would help me dance was I'd get good and liquored up. I'd get intoxicated. Come on. And the more I got intoxicated, the less I cared what folk thought. Come on now. I step outside the club, go find Mr. J, the green leaf, the sticky, whatever you want to call it, the blunt, whatever. I'd go fire up the J, and I'd get to feeling real good. Get even more intoxicated. Listen to me. The more I got intoxicated, the less I cared. Song of Solomon talks about an intoxicating love. Do you hear where I'm going with this? As I was laid in my bed last night trying to sleep, the Holy Ghost was messing with me. I'm like, "Lord, it's midnight. I'm trying to go to sleep."
But He didn't care about my sleep. He's God, right? I'm like, "Lord, I've been studying, and you're going to wait till I come to bed and start talking." He has a way of doing stuff like He wants to. You know what? God has this problem. He thinks He's God. The audacity to believe He's God. You see, the more we get intoxicated on His love, listen, the less we begin to care what other people think. The more you, because listen to me, I understand. You hear, they're watching you. And I'm going to go and tell you, they are watching you. Some think you are absolutely crazy. Who does he think he is? You don't have time for me to tell you. Not being arrogant, I'm just being confident in God. Who does she think she is? You see, you don't know what she's been through to get to where she is. You see, you don't know the storms that God has brought them through. That's why they don't have any choice but press in and praise God. What happens is we forget. We tend to forget. God brings us through, cleans us up, helps us get rid of our baggage, and we get light. And if we're not careful, we get careless. And we stop with our worship, but listen, when we stay intoxicated, we keep praising. Amen. Here recently I was able to be in a service with some precious Australian people. And I'm telling you, those people, I call myself a passionate person, but compared to them, I'm like, Lord, I've got a long ways to go. Because they're so passionate. They're so passionate in their worship towards God. My wife was able to be in a different service, and this Australian lady talked. She said, in Australia, you have this group that is a real sexy group. They're not into God and don't care. And then you have this other group that's sold out to God. And she said, that's all we've got. She said, but what I don't understand is in America, y'all have this middle. Are you hearing me? She said, y'all have this in between that we don't know nothing about. You see, in Australia, they're either all the way in or all the way out. And so many times in America, especially in Mississippi, in the Bible Belt, we have that middle where we're comfortable to where we're kind of in the kingdom and we're kind of in this kingdom. Listen to me. When we have one foot in the godly kingdom and one foot in the world, we're no good to either kingdom. Did you catch what I just said? Because you can't go all the way here. Because if you do, you have to leave there. And while you're trying to get in the godly kingdom, you're convicted and you don't want to deal with it. So you step back over here. And when you step over here, your life gets in more disarray. So we're trying to find the middle ground. And what God is saying is go ahead and get intoxicated on my love. Go ahead and get skunk drunk on the Holy Ghost. Come on here, somebody. Go ahead and take that next step. Go ahead and take that plunge. Listen to me. When God saved me, God didn't tell me to stop getting high. He just had me to lay down the joint and let the power of the Holy Ghost flow through my life. He just said, son, put the Jägermeister on the counter and pick up the Bible. Put down the Bud Light and pick up the Bible and praise me and worship me. And he was saying, I'll show you that there's nothing like my presence. I'll show you that I can do a whole lot better than a club. I'll show you that in my house there'll never be a bad day. You'll never leave the house of God and say, well, it was okay. Well, pastor preached all right. No, because when we come to church and we're intoxicated on the love of God, honey, you won't care if Bugs Bunny's back here preaching, because you come to worship the Lord. Come on. I've got to hush. I love the way Matthew Henry said it. I'm going to just quote him, Matthew Henry. It says, what a pity that it is that this earth, which is so full of the proofs and the instances of God's goodness, should be so empty of His praises. The Bible talks about God creating heavens for the trend in the earth. It talks about God creating man in His own likeness and in His own image. God created He them. Listen to me, guys. This is God's wonderful, wonderful planet. And God has given you a place where you can come and worship your God. Come on. A place where you can come, and if you're bound, we offer freedom through Jesus. Amen. If you're leaving a place that was dead, we offer a place that brings life. And it's not about us. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of God flowing that brings freeness. Amen. I'm going to close by saying this. When Jesus called Lazarus from the dead, what's the words that He used? Because he had been wrapped up, right? What did He say? Loose him and let him go. You see, sister, I remember. And I'm sure you do too. I remember when God came to me. I was wrapped up. And a whole lot of selfishness, a whole lot of pride, and a whole lot of other stuff that is messed up. And First Lady, God saw all that junk on my life. All the sin, all the perversion, all the mess. And He declared and decreed from heaven, loose him. And He didn't argue with Satan. He said, loose him. Let him go. the reason why I worship the way I worship. I understand we're all different, but listen to me, we can't hide behind our personalities. The reason why I worship like I do is because I know what it's like to be raised in a Christian home and lay down on a pillow at night with sweat running down my face, with my heart racing because I've been snorting cocaine all night. I'm laying there thinking I'm fixing to die. Overdose of cocaine and bust tail wide open. See, what happens is if we're not careful, we forget about those bonds. If we're not careful, we forget about those chains that had us in Egypt. If we're not careful, we'll forget about those chains that cut into our wrist and cut into our feet, and we were led about by the devil, led about by our sins. We forget where God brought us from, and we get saved, and we get comfortable, and things going good, and the bank account's looking good, and the marriage is going good, and the family's going good, and we just get comfortable, and we come to church, and we leave, and we say, well, church was okay. Well, the message wasn't as good as last week, but it was pretty good. You know, it was all right. No, you see, when we remember where the Spirit of the Lord brought us from, listen to me, there will never be a Sunday. There will never be a Wednesday. Did I say Wednesday? Oh, yeah, we do have church on Wednesday. Just thought I'd remind you. But anyway, just drop that bomb and move right on. But when we come to church and we remember, listen, when we remember where the Lord brought us from, we will come through those doors with praise. Listen to me. When we, the people, when we come in with praise and we come in with worship, do you know it makes preaching a whole lot easier on us? And do you know that when you come in with praise and worship, do you know, even though our praise team is wonderful and our preaching is wonderful, do you realize that when we begin to come in with more praise and with more worship, do you know what's going to happen? The worship's going to go to another level. The preaching's going to go to another level. Come on in this place, somebody. The church is going to go to another level. Are you hearing me? The money that we're trying to get for the next building is going to come in because people are going to get so free. They're going to be loving God and say, I'm going to go ahead and put $20,000 down today. I'll put $10,000 down this week. God's been so good to me. I'm going to go ahead and give because God gave to me and I can't help but give to a God who gave everything to me. Father, thank you for your presence and your anointing. Father, for these wonderful people. God, they know I love them. If they don't, they'll find that out. Lord, I pray, take your word, etch it deep on our hearts. God, your word said that you took the stony heart out of them and gave them a heart of flesh to know you. God, inscribe your name on our hearts. God, even if we are radical worshipers, God, take us to the next level. If we're struggling with things, God, take us to the next level. God, if we just came from a different type of church and things are different, God, you understand. And you deal with people where they are. But God, at the same time, raise us up. Raise us up to be radical praise and worshipers. God, may we be known as a place, even more than already, be known as a place of vibrant praise and worship. A place where praise and worship breaks out. And people start getting healed long before pastor ever ministers. Marriages are being healed long before anybody ever takes up the offering because we've just entered into worship. And we're following our leader, the Holy Spirit, and our leader, Trent and Jen, as they lead us in worship. Move, Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity before you leave, please. If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's not one ounce of condemnation in this place. This is a place where whosoever can actually come, and you know that. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus, would you boldly and bravely raise your hand? Give me the privilege to introduce you to one that will never hurt you. He will never violate you. He will never give up on you. He'll never walk out on you. Is there one? There's room at the cross. Is there one here You find yourself away from God. I'm not saying you're lost, but you know you're not snuggled up like you have been. When you feel that distance, would you raise your hand? You say, I want to snuggle up a little bit closer. I don't want the distance in my life any longer. Anybody? Father, bless your people, I pray. Bless the remainder of this day. Bless every family. Bless every family. Bless every marriage. God, bless every teenager. Every infant, every child. Bless every business. Bless these, your people. You are our shepherd and we are your sheep. And Father, we can't do anything without you. We love you and we thank you. Amen. God bless you. You are.